This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand.
How many billions of eyeballs are watching these two men 12 yards apart? Messi scores!
Just cool, calm, and slots it the other way. Waits for Lloris to go to the right. Cold as ice.
Lionel Messi sinking the first penalty goal in the World Cup final shootout yesterday. He led Argentina to a nail-biter of a victory over France yesterday in what's been described as the greatest World Cup game ever. And Messi, perhaps the best soccer player ever. It looked like it was going to be a cakewalk after the first half for Argentina at 2-0, but French superstar Mbappe had other ideas.
Gotta find Mbappe now. He'll steer back inside. Thuram! Mbappe!
All right, so Mbappe and Messi traded goals in overtime to send the game to those penalty kicks. Ultimately, as I said, Argentina topped France in that shootout. We're going to get into all of this now with Will Leach. He's a contributing editor to New York Magazine, where he covers sports. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. You always know it's a good World Cup when the announcers' voices hit a crescendo that only dogs and birds can hear. That's always a good sign that you've had a very exciting World Cup final.
It was so exciting for the entire world. I mean, this is a game that probably had more eyeballs on it than any other sports matchup. Right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You mentioned in the intro that this may have been the best World Cup match of all time. I think that may be true, which is how handy that it was, in fact, the World Cup final. It really had this kind of incredible match. And you're right. It started out, it looked like it was going to be a coronation for Messi, right? It feels like we've had a decade and a half having this debate, Messi or Ronaldo. Where do they go with the all-time greats? You know, Ronaldo ended this World Cup on the bench on a team that lost. And Messi really, you know, he had the goal. He had the penalty kick goal. They had this beautiful, beautiful goal. That Argentina's second goal was like the platonic ideal of what kind of goal you'd want in a match. And it really felt like this coronation. But I think that speaks to Mbappe in France, who Mbappe really is kind of the next generation. We're going to be having debates about him versus Messi over the next 15 years. He's this kind of incredible player. I think it speaks to who he is and how he's kind of able to be able to stand up and step up to get the game to where it was. And not only to get it back tied up, but then to have goals in extra time from both sides. It was really remarkable. And the thing that was great about it too is it wasn't flukish, right? It wasn't like a weird blip that one way or the other. These were two terrific teams playing at the absolute top level, bringing each other to that point.
Right. And so, yeah, as you say, Mbappe has a whole career ahead of him. He also scored more goals in this World Cup than any other player, right?
Yeah, he won the Golden Boot, which is, by the way, right. I would just like one of those in general. Just the Golden Boot would be wonderful, one way or the other. Messi, you know, was right behind him. Like, I think that kind of speaks too. It really felt like almost a metaphorical passing of the torch, except for the fact that Messi went ahead and won the World Cup, which is really remarkable. I think it can't be emphasized enough. This is what we generally want out of sports, right? One of our greatest all-time players to kind of walk off the stage at the best possible moment. You know, Michael Jordan did this until he didn't. And oftentimes people can't stay off the stage. Really, for Messi to have this moment for his country, for him, he's been playing, he's the all-time playing the most games ever in the World Cup, to have this crescendo of a moment. I mean, you really couldn't have scripted it better.
So what happens with these two players? What does Messi do? He rides off into the sunset. And Mbappe?
Messi is doing what in the grand tradition of European people playing the European leagues as they get older, they're coming to America to cash in. Messi is going to be going to Miami next year. It has been widely reported, if not officially confirmed by the league itself, that Lionel Messi will be joining Miami next year in the MLS. So if you are a fan of any MLS team around the country, you're going to have the opportunity, probably, to watch the World Cup champion and the greatest player, at least of the last 30 years. He has not officially said this would be his last World Cup. And again, it's always hard for any athlete of his caliber to walk off the stage. They always want to keep going. But international wise, it's hard to imagine him coming back. Mbappe really does feel like he's just getting started. And of course, one of the great things about Mbappe, he's already won a World Cup. He won one 4 years ago when he was 18 years old. And so he's got all of these years ahead of him too. It really, it's certainly of all the things we learned of this World Cup, and listen, the off-pitch stuff, maybe not the best. Not always a wonderful Qatar, pretty much a disastrous choice to be able to host this tournament. But on field, it was absolutely riveting with the truly greatest stars performing on the grandest stage. And so it's very well set up for I was going to say 4 years from now until the next World Cup. But because this is Masters in November, it's actually only 3.5 years. So we don't have to wait quite as long as we usually do.
Right. So that was part of the problem with choosing Qatar, because you couldn't play these games in the heat of the summer in this country. And as you say, there were a lot of issues around Qatar. However, they emerge happy that they spent their, what, $200 billion wisely?
Wisely is certainly up for debate, but I think that certainly they, I don't know if they feel like they got their money's worth, but certainly they got what they wanted out of this, which was a lot of attention on Qatar, mm-hmm. for better or for worse, what one would argue. But I think there's no question. Of course, the next World Cup is going to be held in North America. The United States will host, I believe, 11 of the venues. Mexico will have 3, and Canada will have 2. And I wrote a piece for the Washington Post this weekend, basically arguing how kind of North America gets to be like the great rebound relationship after kind of everything that went wrong in Qatar. Listen, I'm not claiming the United States or is some utopian land where there are no human rights issues or any way, shape, or form. But you can at least wear a rainbow shirt on press row in 4 years. Everything that kind of went wrong with Qatar, whether it was the stadiums not being ready, all the issues that you couldn't even buy a beer at most of these places, we can certainly provide that in America. And so I think particularly when you add in for effect of how well the U.S. national team, they didn't get quite as far as they would have liked, but they clearly kind of announced themselves on a world stage. They're going to be maturing to be able to be the primary host team of this tournament in 4 years with a quality team. 12 years ago was when Qatar was given the World Cup. I think that we've seen all the kind of problems that came out of that. I think FIFA certainly, they got what they wanted, millions of dollars in their pockets. But I think certainly, I think they recognize there's a lot of downside to doing a place like Qatar. And I think they're going to be pretty grateful to have it in North America.
Including here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles will be one of the host cities. But before we get there, we have the Women's World Cup. That'll be next year in Australia and New Zealand. And what are you looking for there?
That will be in the summer, like the World Cups are supposed to be. And I think that has a major advantage of the United States is not some plucky underdog like they are in the men's tournament. They're the stars. They are the best team. But we're going to see there's a new generation of players, but you'll still have your familiar players. Megan Rapinoe will be on that team. They're still heavily favored. They've actually had a little bit of a rough year, just kind of like in their preparations and their qualifying. They've not had one of their best tournaments. They've got the She Believes Cup coming up, which is a great kind of showcase for the women's team. But that's going to be a terrific thing for them next year. And those games will be in prime time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So prime summer, relax, enjoy the time. And that's a terrific team. You know, they will be the betting favorites to kind of come in and play. And they're very likable. We've clearly seen that team kind of grow throughout the year. So the ratings for this World Cup were pretty good. But again, it was 10 in the morning and there was the Qatar stuff. And there was a lot of kind of ambivalence for a lot of people. Expect a lot of stories this summer saying the Women's World Cup outpaces the Men's World Cup again in television ratings in the United States. And I think for very good reason.
Excellent. We have something to look forward to. Will Leach, contributing editor for New York Magazine, where he covers sports. Thank you.
Thank you, as always.
Coming up, how the federal government messed up fighting fentanyl.
I don't think people feel like we've really hit the bottom yet on this. We're certainly not turned a corner. So we're very much in the middle of this crisis.
That's next on Press Play.